The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. And this is one thing that I think is really interesting if you talk to, or if you're familiar with Peter Drucker. Gives people a lot of advice when it comes to organizational management, all that stuff. Very, very clear thinker and a lot of good insight. He writes something here that I think is really pertinent for what we're talking about today. When he talks about leadership, he says, leadership is the trumpet that sounds a clear sound of organization's goals. And he says, with this, there are five requirements for this task. And he found over the years these five requirements to be amazingly reliable and useful for those who dare to lead. Point number one, a leader works. I thought that was profound. If you're going to be a leader, you're going to work. Now, here we go. A leader sees his assignment as responsibility rather than rank. A leader wants strong, capable, self-assured, independent associates. A leader creates human energies and vision. And a leader develops followers' trust by his own consistency and integrity. Those were the five things. And I thought when he said that, I just thought it was really interesting. Interesting how close it is to a biblical framework of leadership. So let me come out initially, let's just come right to it, there's a lot to cover today, that the role of a husband is to be a leader. Notice how quiet it got? The role of a husband is to be a leader. So wives, this is your opportunity now. And for those of you young ladies, all right, listen up, especially my daughters, listen up. This is what you want your husband to be. Husband is to be the leader. So the question that's really that I really want to sink in is, are you, husbands, fathers, are you a good leader? Did you know that this leadership is unavoidable? Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time and for this day, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that we find in it. And so, Lord, I pray that the truth will penetrate our hearts today, specifically and especially for our fathers. And Lord, I pray that we will be encouraged, that we will be transformed with the power of your word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we're going to look at today is we're going to uncover the importance of understanding the indicative or the statement of fact that husbands lead. The second thing we're going to explore is the differences between rule, relaxation, and responsibility. Believe it or not, they're different. And we're going to look at the final characteristics of leadership. And we're going to do that by considering and looking at the greatest leader of all, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So our thesis statement today is this: though the pattern of this world, coupled with the darkness of sin and sin nature, cause us to misunderstand the nature of headship, leadership, or authority, it is the truth of Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit that will open up our eyes to the truth and the picture of Christ as the head of his church. Okay, that's what we're going to be looking at today. So the first point, I think in a lot of ways, the most important point, the indicative, the husband is the head of the wife. Okay? I know this is going to sound probably different, things that you might not have heard. You know, our culture is real funny when it comes to these kinds of things. But the husband is the head of the wife. If you're familiar with Greek, it's an indicative statement. It's a statement of fact. Okay, he's just making a statement. Right? He's not a hope. It's not a wish. It's not even a command. He is not saying, I command husbands to be the head of the wife. It's an indicative. It's a statement. So why is this a powerful thing? The husband is the head of the wife. So again, Paul is not saying here that he wants husbands to be the head of the wife. He's not saying, I want you husbands to be the head of the wife. He did not even say, husbands, you are supposed to be the head of the wife. Again, he's not saying, I want husbands to be the head of the wife. It is super important that we get this. Number one, here it is. You are now, whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not, you are the head of the wife, no matter what you or your wife might think. Hang on. Okay, before you all start throwing stuff at me, before you get too mad, watch this. Paul, again, is saying, this is not a wish, it's not a hope, and again, this is important, he's not commanding it. He's not even commanding it. He's not even saying, you know what, husbands, you need to be the head of the wife. Husbands, you need to be a leader. He's not saying it. He's giving you a statement of fact. And you know what the statement of fact is? Husbands, you are the leader. You are the leader. So right now, as you are the leader and the head of your household. So in light of this, I need us to understand this. In light of this, it's not a matter of whether you are or you aren't being a leader. It's a matter of whether you are being a good one or a bad one. Whoa, that right there, if you got that, then it was worth the time. See, I think it's funny how for men today, how we deal with these types of issues. Because listen to this, even if you decided that, you know what, I am going to let my wife be the leader. You know what that means? That means you have decided to lead by letting your wife lead. Whoa. Did you guys get that? You have decided to lead your family by letting your wife lead. You are never going to be able to say, well, my wife, you know, sorry, my wife was the leader. My wife was in charge. My wife took the lead on this. And no matter what she does, no matter what decision she makes, doesn't matter what direction she points, or no matter what she does, you are still going to be held responsible even if she was the one who led. You cannot escape the fact that you are the head, and God right now sees you as the head. He sees you as the leader, and he is going to hold you responsible. And if you get this, if we get this, this is going to be revolutionary. Especially, you see how it's, and a lot of it's in contrast to our culture today. So here's the thing. Guys, no more talk about, you know, Pastor Zane, one day I will be the head of my house. I know I'm supposed to be, but you know, one day I will. There is no more telling someone. There's no more. We need to get this out of our minds. We do not look at our men today, we don't look at the men in the church and look at them and tell them that they need to be the head of the house. No more. We're not saying that anymore. Do not look at a man and say, you know what? You need to be the head of your household. No more. Why? Because he is the head of the household. Whether he's acting like it or not, he is the head. Okay? No more that, you know, when you made that decision, you were not being the head of your household. That's foreign to Scripture, family. That's foreign. It is not what Scripture is showing us. We do not say, hey, well, you know what? When I made this decision, you know, I wasn't being the head of my house at that time. Do you know why we need to stop doing that stuff? Because, believe it or not, we are playing in to society's mission or society's goal to cripple authority in our land. You guys need, we need to understand this, that masculinity and males today are being attacked and attacked severely. Our culture, our society, the media is doing everything that they can to tear down this thing called men. I think I've even preached on this before. I mean, when you look at TV and you look at the TV shows that are out there, when they depict fathers and they depict husbands, fathers today are bumbling idiots. Fathers today are irresponsible. Fathers today are trying to get rid of. Fathers today are the Homer Simpsons. I mean, just think about it. Where are the Ward Cleavers? You know? Remember Ward Cleaver? Man. It's an attack that's happening. We say things to husbands and we say things to fathers like, you need to be the head of your household. You need to start being the head of your household. When you start hearing things like this, or when you start saying things like this, basically what we're doing is we're giving them a slap on the wrist, and we're giving them we're letting them get off a hook that they can never be let off of. They can't be. Husbands, fathers, we can't be let off of that hook. And the problem is, and the reason why we play into this, and this is where it gets damaging. When you say things like, you need to be the head, or, you know, when you let them say, well, one day I need to be the head. Well, you know what? We're going to help you one day. We're going to help you be the head of your household. It may take some time, but we as a church, we're going to help you become the head of your household. We are doing men a disservice when we say stuff like that, because we're actually communicating that it is possible for them to not be the head of the household. And guys, we like that. We like that. We like being disconnected and being let off the hook with that. Because you know what? I can always say, well, you know what? And when that decision that was made, I just wasn't being the head of the household when I made that decision. Or you know what? My family is in disarray. And you know what? I just haven't been a head of the household. The more we say those things like that, that we can disconnect, we like that as husbands because it doesn't put us in the category of failure. I won't be a failure. I don't look at the situation as me failing. I look at the situation as me I just haven't really tried yet. You know, I always think about this stuff in our culture today, especially when it comes to males. A really funny thing that I saw in the movies, in one of the movies once, where it was a guy that was a head of a business, and the girl asked him, you know, is this apathy or you just don't have any goals in life? And I thought it was really interesting and how it's so similar to culture today when he said, well, you know what I thought? I thought that if I don't have any goals in life, or if I have goals in life, I might not reach them. So if I don't have goals in life, if I don't reach them, I'm never disappointed. And he says, and it feels great. As long as we don't try, if we don't try, we won't ever be a failure. You know? It's kind of that mentality. And I think what happens is men, we have this this propensity or this desire for us to get out of these types of situations, you know, where I don't have to look at myself as a failure. I don't have to look at myself as a loser. I don't have to look at myself these because I just didn't try. So because I didn't try, you can't grade me. Right? You can't grade me if I don't take the test. Well, what I'm trying to explain today is the Bible isn't giving men that out. The Bible is going to grade you if you don't take the test. It's a lie that's happening. See, and even sometimes when it comes to marriages, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever heard the term. My family, they use this all the time when it comes to, because in Asian families, a lot of times there's the matriarchs, you know, the strong female personalities. And so what gets thrown around in my family all the time is, I think she actually wears the pants in the family. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. She is leading the family. And you know, and that's how guys will say it. The reality is she is not wearing the pants in the family. You only think she is. God is going to hold us responsible for that. And again, we have chosen to lead by having her make the decisions. But it was your decision as the head to do it. Therefore, her decision is your decision. And we're going to be held to it. We can't escape the leadership that the Lord has put upon us. The Lord is going to hold us responsible for our home. But she made all the decisions. It was your decision to let her do so. You are still responsible for your home. The Lord is holding you responsible. So that's the number one. So that's the big thing, man. If we get that, we understand that Paul is making this a statement of fact. He's not asking you to. He's not telling you you're supposed to. He's not even commanding you to be the head of your household. He is saying you are the head of your household. So be a good one. Responsibility. So here's the first point. Point number two, responsibility. Now, this is what happens when we as men, and men in our culture today, when we misunderstand misunderstand this point about headship and point about what it is to be a leader and understanding that they are leaders, what happens is if there's a misunderstanding, the whole point and the foundation of leadership goes awry. What ends up happening is they think that leadership is not responsibility. It's about rule or it's about passive relaxation. So either you're going to be abusive or controlling, or men become passive and apathetic. Oh, just, I don't care. Guys just don't care. You know, I remember, like, you know, you got those that are here that are mean and bossy and abusive and just, you know, no feeling, and just because I'm the leader, you guys need to do what it is that I tell you to do, and if you're not going to do it, I'm going to make your life miserable. You got the abusive side, and then you got the passive side. You know, the husbands that instead of actually dealing with the situations, the husbands are more passive. I'll never forget, I can't even remember what movie it was, where the son was doing something really, did something at school that was really, really bad, and the mom is yelling at the son, don't ever do this, and you can't ever do this again, and blah, 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 and then the husband walks in. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. The husband walks in, and she's just like, you need to deal with your son. Do you know what he did? He did this, 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 and the husband is walking, and he's just walking in, and he deal with your son, and he just goes, psh. And then he walks in, he just sits down. And he starts to eat. And it's like, okay, this is what we're talking about. Passive. Passivity. No responsibility. Just being passive. Being apathetic. So when it comes to, where is our investment when it comes to this? Where is our understanding of responsibility? So when it comes to leadership, we need to understand that leadership is seen in the light of responsibility, not rule, responsibility, not passive relaxation. If we truly understand the role of a leader in the scriptures, that we see that being a leader is not having the power to get everyone to do what you want, but it's the responsibility of getting everyone to do what they're supposed to do. Huh. You know, and to some in our culture, it may seem that way. It may seem like, you know, leadership is rule. It's getting what you want all the time. Husbands, the Lord has made you the head and leader of the family. And the reason why he's done that is because he's going to hold you responsible for the family. So I'm hoping that that sheds maybe a little bit of a different light. A little bit of a different light of understanding. That in the end, God's going to hold you responsible for your family. Let me say that again. Your family. For your family. For the whole household. He's going to hold us responsible. So, as a general rule, I do hold every husband responsible for everything that happens in the home. I do my very best to make sure that I don't let husbands off the hook. Okay? They are responsible for everything that happens in the home, even if it's the wife or children who sin. Okay, now watch this. This is what I mean by responsibility here. Let me explain this whole thing. There is a difference between me holding a husband guilty and holding a husband responsible. Okay, some of you already, maybe you've got that connection in your mind already. There's a difference between holding an individual guilty and holding an individual responsible. Again, I always hold husbands and fathers completely responsible for all the problems, and many husbands always, for the most part, will respond to me, "That's not fair." I get that a lot. I hold them responsible for all that's happening. "That's not fair. They don't listen. They don't do this. I've told them to do this. I don't know. It's not fair." Remember what I said, responsibility is different from guilt. This is the example that I use. If a woman is unfaithful to her husband, she indeed carries the guilt of her sin. Would you agree? Okay, not the husband. She carries the guilt of her sin. If she does this, then the husband is not guilty, but the husband is responsible. Okay, I wish you guys could have saw some of the faces. That the husband's not guilty, but the husband's responsible. Oh yeah, he's still responsible. And this is where I feel like the interjection comes in, where, you know, it's not fair. The wife is guilty, yes, but the husband is responsible. That's how it works. Let me give you another example. Let's think about basketball. For those of you that are into sports, let's think about basketball. Basketball season, all throughout the season, all the talented and gifted players throughout the season had a bad attitude. They quit on their teammates. They play with little effort. They get thrown out of games. They complain about their contracts. They give up every time. The game is close and they finish dead last with the worst record in team history. How will this play out at the end of the season? The coach gets fired. Wait, Shane, what? The coach gets fired. Why? Because the coach is responsible for this team. The coach is responsible for all aspects of the team on the floor. He is the leader. No doubt, all the players will carry the guilt and shame for their efforts and performance that year, but the coach is completely responsible. So again, the players are guilty, but the coach is responsible, and the front office will make sure the coach gets it. The coach needed to figure out a way to change things. The coach was the one that needed to figure out a way to get his team playing as a team. He needed to take care of business. Just like husbands, you need to take care of business at home, taking care of your wife so that your wife is not seduced by another man, or taking care of your wife so your wife isn't going out in search of another man. You see that? Take care of business before your children decide to replace you and to rebel against you. Take care of business before it comes to this. Family, this is responsibility. Well, Shane, you just don't understand. I don't need to understand. I don't know how. You figure it out. Figure it out. Figure out a way. And that's the part that gets a lot of the men in our culture today. Because in a lot of ways, you know, men, we're kind of, it's not lazy, but it's just apathetic, you know. It's just like we got things that we need to deal with, but we worked all day long, we had all this stuff, and we just want to sit down and watch TV. We want to do all these types of things, and we just, you know, become really passive. And what ends up happening is we realize how much work it is for us to handle our children or to take care of our wives. So instead of dealing with it ourselves, you know what we do? Pick up the phone and we call professionals. And that's where the church comes in really good, because you know what? The church got ministries for children. Church got ministries for teenagers. I don't have to do none of this stuff. I just got to send them to Bible study. Let the professionals take care of that stuff. It's better to do that than for us to have to spend too much time trying to figure it out. Do you know what the sad thing is, though, family? At the end of it all, we can do the, I sent my kids to the psychiatrist, I sent the kids to biblical counselors, I sent my kids to the youth group, I send the kids to the children's ministry, I've had him sit down and talk with the pastor. You know what has going to happen at the end? The psychologist, the biblical counselor, the children's pastor, the youth pastor, the pastor of the church is not going to be held responsible. You are. Think about it. If we don't understand this dynamic of leadership, responsibility of the husband, then the authority that has been given has absolutely no meaning. And again, what ends up happening is men decide to be tyrannical, oppressive, controlling, commanding, becoming a dictator. And many times when these kinds of situations happen, women have a hesitancy and they have a hard time submitting to their husbands. So we were talking about this at Mother's Day, right? We talked about submission. Well, it gets really difficult, man. It's just like, well, Pastor Shane, she's just not submitting. Well, how do you treat her throughout the week? Are you making it easy for her to submit, or are you making it difficult? And when he doesn't understand biblical leadership, it makes him to be an irresponsible leader. And then on the other side, it can lead a husband to be seen as weak and careless when he just decides, well, you know what? I'm just not going to do anything anymore because everything that I do doesn't help. She doesn't listen. Kids don't listen. Everything's out of control. Just so what? And then they just let go, and they just let all the chips fall when they may. And this kind of behavior does not open the wife and children. This kind of behavior will open a wife and children to all types of sinful behavior, like unfaithfulness, indifference, bad attitudes, rebellion, and all kinds of unbecoming behaviors. I'll give you two examples of two guys who were supposed to know better. Two pastors that I know. One pastor, the first one that I'm thinking of, he was very careless when it came to nurturing his wife and his family. And he would harshly demand things. He would treat them harshly. He would yell at them, embarrass them, and all this stuff. But he says, I am the head of my household. I am the leader. And he didn't nurture them. He just commanded, demanded, and was very, very mean to them. He refused to care. He refused to love. Even when I talked with some of his family members, it was just some of the ways. And I remember even talking with him about some of this type of stuff. Last I heard, now, his kids are hard-hearted and they want nothing to do with him, God, or the church. Last I heard, he got divorced. Last I heard, he got remarried, and his current wife is consistently making passes at other men at the church. Whose fault is that? Sure, wife is making passes at all the men at the church. That's not godly behavior. That's sinful behavior, and she's going to carry the guilt of that. But who's the one that's responsible for this? I also have another friend of mine who is a pastor who is the other side. Just, you know, neglects everything, just kind of lets, you know, wife do stuff. And when children are out of line, instead of actually trying to get them to come in line, it's just like, oh, well, you know, let's just go with this. And just never put his foot down in anything. He goes, because I just don't want to be one of those tyrannical, overbearing, you know, harsh leaders. I want to be a good guy. I want my family to like me. I want my family to love me. And so what he did was he just laid down all the boundaries, laid down all the barriers. And you know what? Now he's got a wife that's out of control. She is actually on the verge of having an affair. None of the kids want anything to do with him, the church, or God. The thing that I thought was absolutely extraordinary is you got two different guys with two different approach, and they both have the same problem. Responsibility. We have to understand that we have the responsibility. And so no, it's not being mean and yelling at your children to try to get control. If you know that yelling at your children is not going to help the situation, stop yelling at your children. You need to find a way. You need to figure out a way to get through to children, to get through to wife. Understand that our leadership means responsibility. It doesn't mean rule. It doesn't mean relaxation. It doesn't mean abjugation, or it doesn't mean abuse. Failure to do this again will open up our wives and our children to be deceived by sinful ideologies and temptations in this world, family. And whose responsibility is it? The husband, the father. We've got to be responsible and not allow these doors to be opened. So the last two points is this. Understand leadership is not an option. It's there. You are. The minute you looked at your wife and you said, I do, that sealed the deal. You are now the head of the household. And you are now responsible. Okay, Shane, I get it. Okay, I'm responsible. I'm responsible. I can't escape this. So just in case you're with me and you're saying, okay, Shane, what do I do now? How do I lead my family? It's amazing, family, and it's so simple. It's so easy, but yet so difficult. You say, Shane, how can you say that? How can you say it's simple and so difficult at the same time? Let me explain to you. It's so simple because there's two things that you need to do when it comes to being a good leader. Two things. Let's put it up. Point number three. Two things. Service and sacrifice. I want to be a good leader. Service, sacrifice. No, Shane, I'm serious. I need to be a good leader. I need some training, man. I need some deep training. Service, sacrifice. There's got to be a different way, man, because I'm looking at all these leaders in this world and they don't seem serving and they don't seem sacrificial. Service and sacrifice. Leadership, service, and sacrifice. How do we take responsibility? How do you take responsibility over your wife? And how do you take responsibility over your family, your children? You serve and you sacrifice. But you see, how difficult that is. So simple. All we have to do to be a good leader is to serve and to sacrifice. But man, it's just hard to do these days, isn't it? Because I think a lot of times we look at leadership as the position of being served, right? Leaders, these are the ones that are served. They're the ones that get served. But that's not the way it is according to the scriptures. If you look at Mark chapter 10, verses 42 to 45, Mark chapter 10, verses 42, 45, so Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many." Wow. You see that? He's telling us that. You look at the world and you see all those leaders out there. Look at what they do. They lord it over their people. They're out there, you know, flaunting their authority. But Jesus said what? For you, it's going to be different. Men, today, for you, it must be different. If you are going to be the leader, you must be servant of all. You got to serve. You got to serve your wife. You got to serve your children. You know, and I know some of my kids are probably thinking right now, well, I don't know, because dad tells me that I need to get him iced tea all the time. I feel like I'm his slave. Are we serving our families when it comes to life? Are we serving our family when it comes to sacrifice? Are we serving our family when we care for them, when we take care of them? Ben, are we serving them? Are we helping them? Are we being their slave? Leaders must be servants. And we see it plain as can be. Jesus is making it very clear that leaders are supposed to be servants. The world may do it in another way, but you are going to do it this way. Leaders are not the served, they're the slaves of everyone else. And this is the reality and the nature of what it means to be a leader. Remember, husbands, you are the head. So Jesus is saying, if you're going to be the leader, you must be slave of all. Absolutely. But you know what? What Paul is saying is there's no if. You are the leader. So since you are the leader, you have to be what? Slave of everyone. This is the reality and nature of what it is to be a leader. You volunteered for this the minute you said, I do. Or I will. Taking responsibility, not rule or relaxation. Being a leader is not to be served, but to serve. This is what you agreed to, again. Another way to understand what it means to be a leader is not just service. And this is the big one for our culture today, is sacrifice. Are we willing to make sacrifices? And this is the one thing that's really, really difficult sometimes when I'm sitting down with a couple and we're doing marriage counseling. Man, the serving and all that kind of stuff is one thing. The sacrifice is another. Man, to see what it is that people are fighting for, to see what it is that people today will not sacrifice for the sake of their marriage, especially when it comes to the men. There's supposed to be sacrifice, right? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 26. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 26. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. So that's what he's saying. Husbands, you're supposed to love your wife just like Christ loved the church. And you know what Christ was willing to do for the church? He was willing to give up his life. Now, this is always one that gets, that kind of, the men try to be slick and they try to make it backfire on me. They do. This is what men try to do. I have no problems giving up my life for my wife. Look, if somebody was going to come and he was going to shoot her, I would take a bullet for her. So yes, I would give up my life. You know how the husbands, they try to be slick. And I say, well, you know what? It's not just life. It's also lifestyle. Woo! Then the thing starts to get different then. It's just like, well, this means that you're going to stop doing this. This means that you're going to, you know, spend some time with her and, you know, not just be glued to the TV during the Stanley Cup finals. All this types of stuff. And then it's just like, no way. So, yes, to have to give up hanging out with the boys or give up playing golf once a week. No way. They're not going to sacrifice that. They will sacrifice their life, but not sacrifice a golf game. That's the problem with our culture today. Family, we're more concerned about our lifestyle than we are about our own lives. We will do things that are so unhealthy that will take our lives and we'll die because of it. But we'll still do it because it's the lifestyle we desire. That's the reason why a lot of times when it's just like, well, come to Jesus because Jesus will save your life. Jesus will give you life, life more abundant. People in our culture are not thinking our life. People are thinking about lifestyle. Hey, I came to Jesus because I thought I was going to be better. I came to Jesus because I thought I'd be driving a nice car, a nice house. I would have wealth. I would have prosperity. I have all these types of things. Because we look and we're confusing life with lifestyle. That's the reason why we have problems when it comes to this. Because we are not willing to sacrifice lifestyle. So we can't even make up small sacrifices like picking up our clothes. Man, people, we'll get divorced over picking up our clothes. We will get divorced over putting the toilet seat down. She is not going to tell me what to do. And if it's going to be like this, then I'm not going to be married with her anymore. Sometimes we've got to sacrifice our time, our efforts, our hopes, and our dreams for the sake of our well-being. And how much are we willing to give up for ourselves? How much are we willing to give up for our children? Our lifelong dreams, promotions, rare opportunities, once-in-a-lifetime opportunities, our comforts, control, our rock band, continuing education, other family members, even friends. How much are we willing to give up? You see, in the end, when there's divorce, and all the couples that I've counseled that ended up in divorce, there was something they weren't willing to give up. Husbands, hear me when I say this. Christ gave it all. And it wasn't just life. Do you know the reason why I say lifestyle too? Because in order for Christ to give his life for us, he had to become man. Do you realize that? In Philippians chapter 2, he did not consider equality with God something to be held on to. He was God, by very nature God, and he became a man. Do you realize that that is way worse than us becoming actual slaves? Do you realize that that's way worse than actually us becoming ants? Talk about giving up lifestyle. He gave it all up. All of it up. So look, when a husband and a wife is at a stalemate and they both understand what needs to be done, and then they all look at each other and it's like, all right, I know what I need to do. She knows what she needs to do. And I'm always like, okay, fine. Who's going to take the first step? I don't know if you guys have ever counseled people that are like that. And they're just like, well, I'm not going to take the first step. The wife looking, I'm not taking the first step. I'll wait till he does it and then I'll do it. I'll wait till she does it, isn't she? And it was a stalemate. And I'm just like, okay, one of you guys has got to take the first step. And I always give that option out at first. I always say, here's your option. One of you guys has got to take the first step. Nobody will. And then I always come in and say, well, the Bible makes it very clear who's supposed to take the first step. Husbands, are we willing to make this necessary sacrifices today? This is our duty. We are instructed to. We are to make the sacrifice. Because you need to understand that when Jesus made his sacrifice for the church, he didn't wait for us to make the first step. I am willing to give you life, life more abundant. I am willing to give you eternal life. But what I need you to do first is I need you to start being nicer to me. I need you to worship me more than one time a week. And if you do that, I'll die for you. Marriage teaches us about the relationship that Christ has with his church. This is huge. This is super important as we start to wrap up here. When husbands make the necessary sacrifices for his wife, this is bigger than you. This is bigger than us. This is bigger than the church. When husbands make the necessary sacrifices for his wife, he is showing everyone how Christ made the necessary sacrifices for his church. When wives submit to their husbands, it's showing everyone how the church needs to always live in submission to their Lord Jesus and to show how Christ was submitted to the Father and therefore brought salvation into this world. So you see that, family? Sacrifice and submission teaches us a lot, doesn't it? It's bigger than us. This is why marriage is just so important and why it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating when we have these kinds of difficulties when it comes to the covenant that's made between a man and a woman. Because when divorce happens, it's showing, it's teaching the world something that can't happen. If marriage is supposed to be the thing that God is using to teach us about Christ and the church, when you have a divorce, what's it teaching us? That the union between Christ and the church, it's able to be destroyed. And that's not true. It's not able to be destroyed. Our union with Christ can never be destroyed. Sacrifice and submission. And again, we see the mighty impact of marriage and how important it is to bring us truth about Christ to this world. And I'm stepping a little bit out of bounds here when I say this, but let me tell you how important marriage is and why it breaks my heart. Because when Paul is giving us, he's telling us here that the mystery about marriage is it teaches us about Christ and the church. Husbands and wives, it teaches us about Christ and the church. So do you understand that marriage then is a kind of revelation? It's a way that God wants to teach us. It's a revelation. So that's why I'm saying when marriage as an institution today is being stepped on, when it's being confused, when it's being ruined and destroyed like it is today, what we're doing is we're destroying revelation from God. It's like taking a step and destroying the Bible. Do you see that? How important it is? Christ has given us an example to follow, husbands. All of our strengths and giftings are there for our wife's sake, not just for our own sake anymore. We use our strength to protect her and to give her and be a benefit to her. Be a good leader for your family because you are the leader of your family. It's not rule, it's responsibility. It's not to be served, but to serve. It's not to self-indulge, but to sacrifice. And all this teaches us something very, very, very important. It teaches us the gospel of Jesus. Every time we look at marriage today, it should teach us the gospel of Jesus. Always showing us everything in Scripture, like we talked about on Wednesday, everything in Scripture points us to Christ. Everything is showing us Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 to 32. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 to 32. As the Scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. And family, we are one because of what Christ has done. Jesus made the sacrifice. He served. When he was here, he served. Oh yes, did he serve. But not only did he serve, he was also the sacrifice. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Was Jesus a sacrifice? Absolutely. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Jesus lived the life that we should have lived. Jesus died the death that we should have died. He served. He sacrificed. This is the beauty of the gospel of Jesus. He took responsibility. He served. He sacrificed. And because he did, now we, children of God, have life and life more abundant. Marriage is a reflection of the wonderful promise of God. Salvation is here. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, salvation is for you. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon his name today and salvation is there for you. What an amazing and mighty God we serve. Be encouraged, family, today. Especially you, fathers, be encouraged today. Jesus has opened up our eyes to this wonderful truth. And yes, Shane, I understand about leadership, but man, it is a burden. I know it's a burden. And Shane, you don't understand. It's a burden that I can't carry. I know it's a burden that you can't carry. Do you know why? Because God never intended you to carry this burden on your own. That's why, family, we are more than conquerors. That's why we are overcomers. That's why it's my prayer and my goal that as the world looks at us here and the world sees us here at Central Baptist Church, they're looking at us and being like, wow, look at how much these people overcome. Well, of course, Christian, we can overcome this. Of course, Christian, we can carry this. Because we have a God that can do all things. And you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us during this time. He is our everlasting Father. The Father's Day, we remember our Father. This Father's Day, our gracious Lord Jesus and the powerful Holy Spirit that dwells with us. And remember, this is our Father's world. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ. So go into all the world and let them know the good news. Let them know. Baptize, teach, because our Father is truly worthy to be praised. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time today. We thank you that you have done so much for us, the sacrifices that you've made, the service. Father, we just can't be more grateful. We will be eternally grateful for the gift and the things that you have done for us. And so, Lord, I pray that you continue to give us hope and to encourage us, to remind us that we are not alone. That fathers and husbands today, we are not alone. You desire for us to recognize and realize that our strength we find in you. And so, Lord, I pray today for all the husbands and I pray for all the fathers that they will find their strength in you, that they will put their trust and their hope will be in you and in you alone. Father, I pray for the marriages in our country, in this world, Lord. I pray that you will help the men to recognize the position. They'll take steps in recognizing their position, to recognize their leadership. Father, that you will give them the strength to walk in it, to succeed in it. We pray that husbands and fathers will be good husbands and fathers, that they will recognize responsibility, service, and sacrifice. I'm praying today that from this day forward, we're asking, Lord, that every father and every husband will become a servant to their family. That every husband and father today will be will make the necessary sacrifices for their family today, Lord. Father, I thank you for this. I thank you for the privilege that we have of being called your children. And so, Lord, I pray that we will all recognize that you are our Father, that we have received the spirit of adoption, and we can all cry out, Abba, Father. We can call you our daddy. So, Lord, we just thank you that we serve a Lord that you are such an amazing God. That it's not just this day we celebrate Father's Day, but it's every Lord's Day. We recognize you as our loving Father, and we thank you for it. Lord, if there's anyone here today that does not know you, Father, we pray that you regenerate their hearts that they may believe that you are that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing they will have life in your name. So, Lord, we pray for salvation. We pray for newness of life. I pray that all Christians today will continue to be salt and light in this world, and we will shine like stars and walk in step with the truth of the gospel. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. At this time, if we could, if I can get Charlie and Janelle, could you help me? And you know what, Dawn, could you still come? I like to have the wives up here, and the reason why I like to have wives up here because sometimes, you know, ladies, you may want a woman to pray with you over something that, you know, you don't want the men to know, you know. So that's why I like to have the ladies up here. So ladies, if you have a request that you don't want Charlie and Dawn to know, Janelle is here, so come to this side. But yeah, for all other requests, you know, Dawn will be here. And the reason why they're here is because they're here to help you, to support you. If anytime during the service today you would say, Shane, I came in here and I did not believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. I heard the gospel for the very first time or for the 10th time, but I believe this. That's an awesome and amazing thing. It's called being born again. Something that we celebrate. And so what we'd like is we'd like for you not to leave here today without talking to either Dawn or Charlie and Janelle.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.